President of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
call tonight, 503-225-0860. I got some great news for everybody out there listening tonight. Spread the word to your friends and people who are confused about the Ground Zero feeds online. Your patience is... we're aware of the patience. We're aware of people who are patiently waiting for email responses from Ron and others. But if you go to groundzeroplus.com, GroundZeroPlus.com. There are links there where you can listen to our live feed. We got the live feed back up and running thanks to Chris in the UK. So we got that going on. We've got this new website. The stream is going, and we do have our own online audio stream. We finally got that recovered, and we are still doing the crowdfunding. So if you want to help us out, be a hero for Ground Zero, just go to GroundZeroPlus.com. Look for the links to crowdfunding, GoFundMe and others. And we also have some of our Archive GZ shows. They're going to be available free for now on groundzeroplus.com. So we are rebuilding quickly, getting things together after we've had this upset. We're not going to let it bring us down. Why? Because we have the encouragement and the support of all of you. So please, be a hero for Ground Zero. Go to groundzeroplus.com. We even have a chat room now. So if you want to go in, we have a chat room that's available you can play in. All kinds of things. We're rebuilding as we speak. And it's like Ron's not getting any sleep. I'm not getting any sleep. We're all working hard. And, you know, it's all part of the transformation. It's all part of a total transformation, I think, that's happening. And it's not just because of sour grapes and other problems. I mean, those are all political and those are all inside business things that go on. And a lot of it's boring. But... I got to thinking about Elon Musk, and I got to thinking about Trump, and I got to thinking about what's going on and how people are freaking out. It's because of a transformation, and it's something that we've been talking about. I mean, and everybody thought, well, you think the transformation is going to stop if Trump becomes president? We're all going to go back to normal. No, this is going forward to a normal. Not necessarily the normal that you and I remember. And I'm talking to those who are from my generational age, the demographic that, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70-year-old people. Listen, we're not going back to pre-9/11. We're going forward to a new normal. We're in a transformation. We're increasingly impacted by algorithmic decision-making, artificial intelligence, data proliferation, data harvesting, sophisticated monitoring. And this is not just monitoring us and to know where we are so they can spy on us. No, this is about how we think, how we act, how we react to things. And this affects how we work. It affects how we work because we have the ability now to access services. They know how we relate. They know how we interact with others. They have all of that information because we have digital innovations and we have online platforms. And of course, many people say, well, you know, these are needed. Yeah, well, they offer unparalleled ease. They also raise critical concerns about independence, independent thought, sovereignty, cognitive liberty. See, the cost of connectivity and data-driven decision-making that characterize modern life right now, it has major implications for the future because the time is short. The window has been told anything from now until 2030, 2035. Technological advancements they're using technological advancements to shape preferences, to mold behaviors, to groom people, and of course they want to make them predictable. They analyze to see if you're a predictable person. You like vanilla ice cream? They know you like vanilla ice cream. An ad will pop up on your Facebook. An ad will pop up on your Google about vanilla ice cream or Baskin Robbins or whatever. That's the thing. And that's why we have to understand that our preferences are being shaped. Our behavior is being shaped. We're being groomed. We're power holders are using the notion of convenience to manipulate and exert control over the population. Because all we look for now is convenience. It doesn't matter about freedom. It's about control and convenience. If they have everything under control, I don't have to worry. My life is more convenient if I can push a button, tap, and receive. Right? And I was saying it's a tap and receive universe. You tap, you receive. You tap, you receive. Giant corporation in the state, they're leveraging what is often termed technological solutionism. And what they're doing is they're establishing this digital iron cage of control by monitoring and predicting our thoughts, predicting our actions, and it's all intertwined entities imposing this tightening noose of automated systems, suffocating personal liberty, suffocating cognitive liberty. You know, it's hard to break out. It's hard to think for yourself. We're constantly in an echo chamber, listening to the same thing every day and not open our minds to different things. I attempt to give you that, hopefully. I tend to do that without prejudice, trying to keep myself as objective as possible. But see, what we're looking at here is we're looking at giant corporations and the state. And what they're doing is together, they're leveraging what is often termed this technological solutionism. And they want to monitor, predict, they're increasingly hurtling toward a reality reminiscent of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And, I mean, I talk about Brave New World because what that is a dystopian technocracy. It merges with a plutocracy. And what Huxley foresaw was a society where the ruling class maintains control, not through overt expression, but through subtle manipulation, subtle distractions, and effectively created a system where people are conditioned to accept their servitude without resistance. And that's what we're seeing in this emerging landscape. The values of order, conformity, and compliance reign supreme in a technocracy, overshadowing individual freedoms, overshadowing critical thought, oppressing language, oppressing speech. And also we look at agriculture. The technocratic control is increasingly evident in the push for one-world agriculture, dominated by AI, genetically modified foods, genetic engineering, geoengineering, precision farming, all under the sway of a few powerful corporations, companies like Monsanto, Bayer, Cargill, Corteva, Syngenta, Microsoft, Amazon, along with influential investment firms that hold stock in companies throughout the agri-food chain. And what are they trying for? Well, they want the standardization of food systems. It's a monopolistic, cloud-driven agricultural framework that priorities control, dependency, and uniformity over diversity and local farming. And this approach threatens to reduce our food systems to an even blander, more standardized product line, stripping away traditional farming methods and local knowledge. It all goes down. You know, the culture gets damaged. Everything gets damaged. The way we make decisions gets damaged. That's how a technocracy operates. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. tuned to Ground Zero. I'm Clyde Lewis. Check us out on groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com to pick up the new feed. Sounding great. Everybody's calling and saying, hey, the feed sounds awesome. So we got a new feed. We got a chat room. We got some shows back, so you listen to those too if you miss them. groundzeroplus.com. And yes, we will honor and we will follow through with the subscriptions and get anything back on track again. It's going to take us some time because we were hoping to do all this by June, but apparently Rovitix Media had a different idea in mind, and that's why we're scrambling now. So they changed their minds on us, and it's just a difficult thing. And like I say, it's all inside business nonsense, and I don't know. Bores me to tears, but also irritates me as well. But see, with all the stuff going on with the computers and all the stuff going on with tech and what I'm seeing on the news, you know, people are freaking out over Elon Musk and they're freaking out over Trump and they're freaking out about this house cleaning. They're saying, oh my God, what's going on? It's all fascist. Listen, I can be very clear and I can break down to you what's happening. And it's obvious because of all the things we've talked about, you and me, okay? In our culture right now, the trend is towards standardization. The goal is to dilute or erase traditional knowledge, local customs, diverse worldviews, socializing, creating a bland, uniform, AI-driven existence that can easily be controlled and manipulated. And this push extends to radical alteration of human biology itself through transhumanism, through mRNA vaccines, and all these other things we're hearing about. The transhumanist agenda seeks to enhance human and physical cognitive capabilities through tech. It's aiming to transcend what it means to be human. And this ambition aligns with the drive for a one-world agriculture where we have envision a standardized technologically enhanced version of humanity, a standardized technological advanced enhanced version of foodstuffs, you know, fake meat, fake food. They're going to turn us all into plastics. I mean, just the bottom line is genetically engineered humans. And we talked about genetic engineering. We talked about why the rush for all of this. When we stop and scrutinize the transhumanist agenda, it reframes our understanding of movements like transgender rights and how a lot of it is based in eugenics. Sad to say that, you know, I take this position only because I fear that the government and those who are these eugenicist type people, these evil eugenicists, target and mislead the LGBTQ community into thinking that this is their right, when in reality they have a right to peace, love, and being able to live life. But no, gender reaffirmation, all this other nonsense, relaxed border controls, breakdown of the nuclear family, it's all tied together. And I hate to sound like my dad, but my God, it's part of the communist agenda. And so what we see is we see a vision of people being uprooted, changed, treated badly, detached from their social lives, detached from the countries of origin, detached from their families, wondering about genders and whether or not they should fix their gender because something's wrong with them. That's the thing. Something's wrong with you. It's your gender, right? Okay, come on. We'll come over here and we'll mutilate your genitals. That's what eugenicists do. Let's just stop the process of procreation right there and let's mutilate those genitals. How about it? That's the thing. They want an ultimate, homogenized, I don't know... We're talking about this one-world human. Some bland, standardized, homogenized one-world human so they can control it. You know? Is that, yeah, human robot, pretty much. That's what they're doing. Hermaphrodite. I don't know what they want. They want us to be sexless, sylph-like, like aliens. Okay? Bald heads, big eyes, meek. And, you know, when I talk about technocracy and I talk about transhumanism and all that, there are a lot of people that say, well, we didn't think about that when I was a kid, and, you know, but you did, okay? For those of you that stood in long lines at Star Wars, you knew the difference between the Empire and the Rebel and the Rebels and the Rebel Alliance, right? The Empire in Star Wars was the technocracy. And the Rebel Alliance were the farmers. The Rebel Alliance, I mean, the vapor farmers. They were the farmers. They were the workers fighting against the technocracy. The Death Star was part of the technocracy. Darth Vader was a walking illustration of the technocracy. I mean, that's if we break it down into a fable, that would be the best fable to use as Star Wars. A group of people fighting against the technocracy, fighting against these shiny objects that are brought to us by these multi-billionaires that want to push away the old systems. They want to push the new systems in front of you. And so the average American tends to think that the idea of technocracy is brand new. It's a shiny object that Elon Musk has weaponized and that Donald Trump has brutally executed in all of his abrupt house cleaning. You know, all that stuff he's done with the old system and the waste and all that money that's being wasted and how all that money being wasted gets in the way of his new order. Okay? Everybody wants a shot at the new order. Even Trump wants a shot at the new order. Musk wants a shot at the new order. Bezos wants a shot at the new order. Gates wants a shot at the new order. And I know that a lot of Americans may also think that the idea of technocracy is the conspiracy of unelected atheistic scientists at Davos. World Economic Forum. Yeah, okay. Did they have their sustainable agenda? Some people think, oh, that sustainable agenda is also something new. No. That agenda, the sustainable agenda, has been around since the 20s, a process to create a world order in the image of those unelected scientists. Those unelected billionaires. See, these ideas were first planted in our heads by none other than H.G. Wells. Yes, I'm talking about War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells. I'm talking about When Worlds Collide, H.G. Wells. I'm talking about, you know, Things to Come, H.G. Wells. Time Machine, H.G. Wells. Morlocks. I mean, Wells was not just a science fiction writer, but he was a Fabian socialist. And what he would do is he would hide the clues to the future in many of his science fiction books. H.G. Wells was the author of a book called The Open Conspiracy, and that book was published in 1928. This book was an expose. It was an expose on what the elite were planning for the technocratic future and how a new form of socialism would gradually take over the world. They were gradualists. Wells knew he wouldn't see in his lifetime, but he knew it eventually. There would be a new world order that would replace world religion, that would replace world government. And so the new order, he claimed, would be ruled by the elite, the intelligent, and those with scientific backgrounds. I think Wells was a eugenicist as well. He believed that only the smart should rule, that the rich should rule. Because they have proven time and time and again how they can make money work, how they're intelligent. It wasn't that anybody could be president of the United States. It's not anybody could be king of the world. You have to have the bloodline. You have to have the know-how. You have to be part of the meritocracy. And through the years, we've been lured into the idea of a technocratic government through science fiction stories like Star Wars. They give us a view of what full technocracy would look like, what an enhanced man would look like, what a man trapped in technology would look like, always feeling the pain and feeling awful about himself, being trapped in his own hate. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
1960s represented the last burst of the human being before he was extinguished. And that this is the beginning of the rest of the future now. That from now on, there'll simply be all these robots walking around. All these robots walking around.
We live in an age based on science and technology with formidable technological powers. And if we don't understand it, by we, I mean the general public, if it's something that, oh, I'm not good at that, I don't know anything about it, then who is making all the decisions about science and technology that are going to determine what kind of future our children live in?
See, I keep meeting these people. I mean, just a few days ago, I met this man who I greatly admire, and he told me that he no longer watches television, he doesn't read newspapers, and he doesn't read magazines. He's completely cut them out of his life because he really does feel that we're living in some kind of Orwellian nightmare now, and that everything that you hear now contributes to turning you into a robot.
And this combustible mixture of ignorance and power, sooner or later, is going to blow up in our faces.
Contributes to turning you into a robot.
I mean, who is running the science and technology in a democracy if the people don't know anything about it?
Contributes to turning you into a robot.
Who is running the science and technology?
Turning you into a robot.
I think this is a time for a great reset.
You have to stop thinking that we're dealing with a normal man here. We're dealing with a soulless killing machine driven by pure animal instinct.
Cell. Cell. Have you ever been in an institution? Cell. Cell. Do they keep you in a cell? Cell. Cell. When you're not performing your duties, do they keep you in a little box? Cell.
Who is running the science and technology in a democracy if the people don't know anything about it?
A soulless killing machine driven by pure animal instinct.
It was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically to kill the man.
All these robots walking around.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. So technocracy is nothing new. It's been around, or the idea has been around for a long time, since the turn of the 20th century and beyond. 1920s, 1930s, we started hearing about things like creating a race of supermen, the Ubermensch. We heard about sustainable agendas, genetic engineering. This was all pipe dreams of the mad scientists. H.G. Wells, who wrote The Open Conspiracy, also was famous for a lot of other science fiction, was a Fabian socialist, and he was the one that planted in our heads the idea of collectivism, technocracy, and how it would eliminate religion, and it would replace religion with world government, a scientific government. Men, elitist men, rich men with scientific backgrounds running the show. And so we've been lured into this many times. People would argue that we've been lured into this with science fiction, like Star Wars, as an example, clutching the very powerful technocracy that uses extermination weapons to keep people in line. Remember that line, fear will keep the systems in line. Well, beyond space fantasy is the reality of visionaries from the modern era who actually proclaimed the fast-paced technocratic process that we were going to be facing. David Rockefeller, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and the Trilateral Commission, they achieved a great deal in moving the world toward a new international economic order and global governance through an established technocracy. Brzezinski, he understood the decline of nation states, and he said, well, that's a necessity for advancing a global order where the private banking cabal and transnational corporations assume political dominance. He actually wrote a book called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. And he said this in the book. He said, the nation state, as a fundamental unit of man's organized life, has ceased to be the principal creative force. International banks and multinational corporations are acting and planning in terms that are far in advance of the political concepts of the nation state. So they were working on Technocracy, Inc., okay? Technocracy Incorporated was one of the early movements campaigning for centralized control of the expense of democracy. And through their initial aim, they wanted to transform the North American continent into a scientific dictatorship. The Rockefeller family pushed these ideas globally, and working through their vast interwoven network of corporate, academic, political, and philanthropic institutions, they advanced this globalist mindset with the United Nations, energizing ideas and formulating strategies with the United Nations. And so while their agenda grew popular with elites of all stripes, they needed a way to sell this scheme to the masses and accelerate the groundswell for sweeping worldwide changes. Like the original technocrats, they thought a bloodless revolution would work, and they used fear and chicanery to usurp power. Technocracy Incorporated used the stock market crash of 1929 and the resulting Great Depression to recruit these fearing total economic collapse, into their camps. Notice that they used a trauma, something traumatic, like the market crash of 1929, their Great Depression. They utilized this as a way to recruit people into their idea of a technocratic utopia. What are they doing with COVID? They did the same thing. COVID gave us an example of what we don't want, so we're going to be there to bring you all of the drugs and all the things you need. So what they used is they used an existential threat. And also they've used diseases and environmental disasters and other things to threaten people. First it was the feared ice age, now it's global warming, and that's used to destroy what they believe are worn-out systems to be replaced with new technocratic systems. Global warming, have the solar panels, have the wind turbines, have, you know, everything they have a replacement for. They look at the old legacy systems and they say, well, legacy systems don't work anymore. Let's get rid of the waste. Let's get rid of the trouble. Let's clean house. What do they have left? Well, new ideas, new projects, endless series of research, conferences, books, speeches, reports, propaganda, agreements, treaties, legislation, collusion, public-private collusion, environmental tinkering, geoengineering, weather making. I mean, come on. We have all this sustainable development. This is what they called it back then. So we have to have the sustainability initiative. And this is what Rockefeller talked about. He said, we need institutions and government to agree on a plan to march the world toward technocracy by undoing man-made evils triggering global warming through a novel concept of sustainable development. So then we have the sustainability initiative. Born in a conspiracy, continues through an endless series of, you know, propaganda. And keep in mind that now there are 17 goals of sustainable development now in play, all for the growth of this process. The globalist planners of the technocracy claim that the heartbeat of technocracy is sustainable development. And it calls for an engineered society where the needs of mankind are in perfect balance with the resources of nature. That's according to what they have written. That's according to what they propose. This includes the geoengineering process of food, the altering of human DNA in order to keep the populace drugged and held in chemical enslavement, just like what Aldous Huxley talked about. We're living through a historic transition of power, the shift from a corrupt facade democracy to an AI-driven technocracy controlled by Silicon Valley millionaires. All this happening, why? Because we're looking in the wrong direction. We're focused on distractions. We're focused on the wrong signals. We're missing the larger pattern of what is actually happening. We're freaking out and not talking about how destroying the old systems are being done on purpose to open the door for newer systems. Some of them may not be good. Some of them may not be as convenient, but we're thinking they are because they'll convince us it's for the greater good of the people. This is how a technocracy sets up its goals, push forward their goals with algorithmic decisions and molding of the people. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. here is the New World Order is being offered. The reset is underway, okay? We have to ask ourselves, who do we want to lead that New World Order? Because everybody wants a piece of that pie, okay? Everybody wants to try it out. But what it boils down to is the technocracy is still there, waiting to make decisions about science, about agriculture, about all these other things. And that's why you have all those billionaires gathered together. Right now they're working with Trump, but I'm sure they want to work with others. I mean, it's clear that when you look at something like the World Economic Forum, for example, they get this, they get together at Davos, and these guys are global power holders, and their minions do actually believe that they are going to somehow sit in judgment over the fate of billions with their new world order, right? But they have a contempt for genuine democracy. They think they have some divine entitlement by virtue of what? The wealth they've stolen or the wealth they've acquired by manipulation from wage labor or whatever it is. I mean, King Charles, of course, has a lot of, you know, money invested in this and he's behind it. But the mainstream media, the mainstream narrative would have us all believe that these people have the best interests of humanity at heart rather than being ruthless, arrogant, devious schemers with contempt for mass humanity. Again, we're looking at attempts by every government, in fact, mostly the Western world. They want to get rid of the old. That means a clean sweep. So people freaking out over these clean sweeps, freaking out over the revelations of wasted money, it's all part of the plan for the reset. We get rid of these wasting programs. We get programs that work, that make money, that give you convenience, and you are buying into the technocracy. Because look who's behind pushing these old things out and bringing in the new things. Silicon Valley billionaires like Musk and others. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's part of the reset. Let's go to Dave in Arizona. Dave, you're on Ground Zero. Hi, is the phone up? Dave in Arizona, you're on Ground Zero. Dave, are you there? Hold on a second. Okay, I guess Dave's gone. Let's go down to James in Vancouver. Hey, James, you're on Ground Zero. All right. Oh, we don't have phones. Something happened to the phone system? Okay, well, something's happened to the phone system. I don't know what that is, but Apparently, I don't know what to do now. Okay, well, we'll wait and see what happens here. Okay, let's see where I was or what I'm thinking here. So when you look at Zbigniew Brzezinski, you look at the Rockefellers, you look at the, you look at Zbigniew Brzezinski had said about the technotronic era. Rockefeller had said, and this is where we get our idea of reduced population. He was saying that there were plans to reduce the world's population by half. He said that paper currency would be taken out and that we would have it, that people would have chips and they would have token digital money and all this. It could be switched up by the state at any time. Nicholas Rockefeller referred to the massive global population as slaves or serfs who have to be controlled. And he even mentioned that they wanted women in the workforce because they wanted to destroy the family unit. And that was the problem, is they wanted to destroy the family unit with putting women to work. And we also read about how they want to create problems with procreation. They don't want the population to grow. Now, of course, these claims were unverified, but a quarter of a century on from when the conversation is said to have occurred and the ideas were supposed to occur, we needed to consider just how much closer we move toward this new world order, this new technocracy. And we're seeing all kinds of destabilization right now with the borders. We're seeing sperm counts drop. We're seeing people talking about climate change emergency narratives, climate lockdowns, restricted movement. All this stuff was unheard of some 30, 40 years ago. But it was all talked about, though, as a conspiracy theory. Now it's not conspiracy theory anymore, it's something else. The wealth creators have been appropriating ordinary people's wealth, and they've appropriated it for things like the, you know, the craziness of condoms, you know, given to the Hezbollah and all this other stuff. But see, that's the thing, is that, yeah, we need to clean that stuff out, but how many other things are going to get cleaned out in the process, And how many of these things, these legacy systems, how many of them are going to be replaced? And what are they going to be replaced with? Technocratic government. Mm. All right, Dave, we got you. Go ahead. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I wonder, I guess Doge hasn't got into the geoengineering yet, right? Because I can see where they're still spraying in the skies. So yeah. Either they just haven't gotten around to it yet, or they figure maybe it does suit their purposes in the end.
Well, see, you need to understand that they're picking and choosing. We hear about the stuff in the media that's irritating the left. We don't hear about what the other things are getting rid of. Remember, in the past we said the reset would be getting rid of legacy systems and replacing them with new ones. So even though we're hearing about this horrible, horrible waste at USAID and others, yeah, there is horrible waste, but there's probably some other stuff that's getting taken out that's going to be replaced by the technocratic era's machines and other things.
Well, and then like you said, too, it's really a question of who's going to be leading that. And since Trump has given both of his middle fingers to the globalist crowd, and you mentioned other things like the market crash, COVID, you know, 9/11, World War II, whatever, you can pick all these events. And here we are. We're still giving our finger to the globalist crowd.
Well, Trump gave his finger to the globalist crowd, but what are the globalists doing now?
Well, that's the thing, right?
They're coming and visiting him. They're saying, okay, we're going to come visit you, find out what's on the table. Trump's giving their pitch for the world order. He's saying, this is how I want it. This is how we can benefit from it. And what is it doing? It's getting people like Putin to the table. It's getting people like Macron to the table. It's getting all these people to the table.
Well, even Zelensky, apparently.
Yeah, even Zelensky. Okay. And Trump says to his face, you are a dictator and you need to be put in your place. Whoa, that's some pretty big words right there. And so, again, we're looking at the cleaning house before the reset, or cleaning house during the reset, so they can replace it with some more technocratic ways of dealing with countries, dealing with ism, dealing with all this stuff.
Do you think they honestly plan to let Trump be the guy that's going to run that or lead that into the I don't either.
No.
Yeah.
Trump is the guy that is the, I guess you could say, he's the cannonball. He's the guy that's going to go in and the wrecking ball. He's going to go in. He's a wrecking ball operation. He's always been a wrecking ball operation. Back when he didn't know what he was doing, it was a wrecking ball operation. But now he knows what he's doing. It's going to be a major wrecking ball operation. He's got Elon Musk.
Yes.
So he's going to have Bezos. He's going to have a bunch of other people doing the cleaning for him as well. Once that's done, all of those legacy systems are removed and replaced with technocratic systems, then everybody in Silicon Valley is going to be happy.
Oh, speaking of legacy systems, the Pope. Oh, my. What a shame.
What, did he die?
Not yet. I think they said mild kidney failure. I don't know. I don't know if such a thing exists, but
it does.
We'll see.
Believe me, it does. Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens with the Pope. Yeah, keep your eye on your P's and Q's, right?
Yes, sir.
All right,
have a good night.
Thank you.
All right.
503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. David Knight coming up. Talk about the news of the world and the state of the technocratic move for the world order. 503-225-0860. Don't go away.
The madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Give up!
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. The media has got nothing right. They don't find nuance, and what they observe is a way by which they can undermine Trump, undermine what he does. They focus on the wrong things. They focus on the wrong signals. They focus on his abruptness, his matter-of-factness, the fact that he is, you know, he has a way of, you know, he has an acid tongue. We know that, and they love to focus on it. But these are what you're doing when you focus on that media is you're missing the larger pattern of what is actually happening, because we're caught up still in this political divide. We're not focused on how the moves are being made for a new world order. This is like a grand chessboard. Every move serves multiple purposes. What appears as chaos is actually a precisely choreographed sequence of events. What looks like resistance is often part of the plan. Even this analysis that I'm making, if it reaches a wider audience, would be dismissed as paranoid speculation. But that's what makes it effective. You get talking about it and people start understanding that this moment, what makes it unique is it isn't the scale of the transformation, but its inevitability. The technocratic infrastructure, the technological infrastructure, technotronic was the video Brzezinski said, infrastructure required for a total control is what it does. And this has matured because people are okay with it. Artificial intelligence is reaching the sophistication necessary for algorithmic governance. The social and political chaos we're experiencing is not random. It's orchestrated to create the perfect conditions for this transition. Okay, consider this for a moment. Elon Musk alone controls enough wealth to simultaneously fund 8 Manhattan projects, maintain a private army of 100,000 elite mercenaries for a decade, or fund the entire United Nations for 14 years. So what does that tell you? It's not about money. It's about power. Okay? It's not about the money. It's about power. Was it the Joker said that in the Batman movie? It's not about the money. Everything burns, right? It's about power, about how you wield power. And the tech elite already have more wealth than they could spend in multiple lifetimes. What they're pursuing is something more ambitious for them. Total control over society's future development. The situation isn't whether this transformation is happening. It's whether we can recognize it in time to influence its direction, to get together and start making proposals, bills, and what have you that can be turned into laws that will protect us from having our cognitive liberty being taken from us, our sovereignty being taken from us. Or is that what we want? We want to surrender our sovereignty to drugs. Surrender our sovereignty to, injections for, like I talked about the other night with Dr. Merritt. Or last night we talked about this with Dr. Merritt. The idea that we can just surrender ourselves to the mRNA vaccines. Because it's going to cure 8 forms of cancer, they say. you know, this whole Stargate thing. It's gonna be the biggest thing since sliced brown bread. So the transformation, it's not about, it's going to happen. We need to recognize that it's happening now, and we need to find a way to influence it to basically, so we can walk away with a little bit of something. Because time and time again, we've been warned that this type of abrupt change needs to be done with responsibility. Yes, the striking down of old and wasteful systems, that's happening. That's in progress. But we shouldn't be so used to it that we forget that the purpose of this raising of the legacies, destruction of the legacy systems, we can't argue about what this is about. It's about replacement, okay? That's the bottom line with technocratic sweeping. Everything is going to be replaced, even you. Even human beings are going to be replaced. We already surmised that with all the transhuman offers, the transhumanism, whatever it offers, they say, well, it'll offer eternal life. It'll make you, the mortal human will disappear, and only a race of supermen augmented with machines will emerge. Yes, another eugenics plan. See, what began with subtle changes in society's foundation has revealed itself as something far more calculated. The growing polarization, the accelerating technological revolution, the institutional breakdowns, none of these things are random events. What I'm talking about is proof that the reset is underway, because they are forming the opening moves in a transformation so ambitious that even describing it risks you sounding like a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. And I don't mind that. I think what I'm giving you is honesty. I'm giving you an idea. I'm breaking it down. You take a look around you and you realize that we're in the middle of some major shakeups that are occurring across the global stage. Europe, the EU, UK, they're all seeing shakeups. Elections are shaking things up. There are many changes. Other allies we have are worried. Some are furious. And it deals again with Ukraine. It deals again. But see, that's the thing. History is replete with examples of breaks with the past from major political, economic, technological, and social upheaval. So what we're seeing now is just a taste of how technocracy is going to breed future shock. The transformation is the classic pattern of problem, reaction, solution. That's what they call the Hegelian dialectic. Problem, you create and amplify problems severe enough that the population demands change. We have polycrisis after polycrisis, and then people react. They're waiting for the reaction. They're waiting for the frustration. They're waiting for the anger. They're waiting for the protest. They're waiting for the calls for reform. And then they say, oh, well, we have a solution. And these solutions would never, ever be accepted under normal circumstances. But since you've asked, and since we are looking at problems, since we're looking at the rebellion, yeah, we can do this if you want. Just give us the word. Yeah, we'll take away your rights and freedoms for convenience. Just give us the word. Yo, we'll groom you for the technocratic age. We'll give you your 15-minute cities. Just give us the word. Yes, the reset is happening, and we are not talking about how we're going to direct it. We're letting everybody do it for us. Take a look around you and understand that this is why we're seeing people like Elon Musk and others taking power. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. About the technocrats being looked upon as the good guys because they have the shiny toys. We all like shiny toys. It's obvious that this is, you know, we need that tap and receive convenience. Give me convenience or give me death. You see, that's the thing, is that we're watching the house cleaning, and many people are complaining about it because it's taking away these programs, but they were wasted money sources as well. But see, the slippery slope here is how many other programs, how much of the monolith is going to be cracked, okay? And when it does, what are they going to replace it with? You're right. They're going to replace it with technology. They're going to replace the legacy systems with the new systems. That's always been the agenda for the World Economic Forum, just all of these world bodies. You know, and so tonight, David Knight is with us. He's an electrical engineer. Worked for Texas Instruments and Data General before becoming a self-employed. He became self-employed in video production and retail. His environment in third-party independent politics led him to work as a media fellow for the American Tradition Institute on energy issues. David was hired as a reporter at InfoWars, where he covered the Bundy Ranch standoff, asymmetric warfare training, Bilderberg, and the geospatial intel surveillance issues. This led to guest hosting duties and his weekly morning show for over 3 years, The David Knight Show. It's independent, both as a video broadcast and audio podcast. David Knight, welcome to Ground Zero.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Clyde.
It's good to have you on. And, you know, I've been noticing this this pattern, and that is I think we're looking at the wrong signals here when it comes to all this house cleaning that Elon Musk seems to be doing and others are doing, and we're freaking out and saying, who elected him? Well, nobody did, but then nobody elected the World Economic Forum either. And we're noticing that Trump is meeting with all these globalist players to make sure that everybody's on the same page with regard to the new order they're proposing or the technocracy they're proposing. Do you think that's what's going on?
Yeah, I think the question is not who elected him, but who did he buy the election for? Because, you know, we go back, if we just go back to the year 2000,
yeah,
the entire amount of money that was spent by the George W. Bush campaign was $100 million. Mm-hmm. And Trump has gotten that from, more than that from the Adelsons. He's got $250 million or whatever from Elon Musk. And Al Gore accused him of buying the election because he only had $70 million. So think about that. Both of the campaigns total $170 million. Where are we now? That's something of a metric for corruption in America, isn't it? But talking about the program that that Musk is doing, and famously copied Office Space last week and mm-hmm. said, "Yeah, what are you doing here exactly? Tell us what your job is." That type of thing with an interview. Except that now the people who are going to be sending in the emails, and of course a lot of the agencies, even the newly appointed Trump people, push back against it. At the FBI or the intelligence agencies and said, no, we can't tell you that. We'd have to kill you, you know, if we told you what we're doing.
Exactly.
But the interesting thing is, that came out today is that he's going to use AI to evaluate these emails.
Mm-hmm.
And so AI is going to look to see if they have a justified position. And guess what? AI will be the thing to replace them. I think that's really where this is headed.
Well, that's exactly the way. I'm glad you're seeing this because I was noticing this too a couple days ago. I didn't know how to apply this to a show. I just was thinking I got to reveal this before it becomes before other people see it. Maybe and you see it obviously mm-hmm. that all of this house cleaning is good up to a point. But what it is you say, what are they going to replace it with? They're going to replace it with AI. Now AI is going to review your resume. Now AI is going to review who's capable, the meritocracy of AI. Or like I was talking about earlier with Star Wars, the Empire's technocracy, where everything is based primarily on an algorithm and is based on whether or not you're capable of giving up your life to be a machine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I think everybody looks at this as we start to see the cuts. We're all cheering. Because we want to see honest government. We want to get rid of the fraud and we want to get rid of the waste.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to see smaller government, although I'm not sure that's going to happen. As Trump is talking about, well, we had a great economy. We funded the entire government off of tariffs. Well, of course they did. Jefferson, in his second inaugural address, said by eliminating useless offices in the federal government, no farmer, no laborer, no mechanic knows a tax man, meaning a federal tax man.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a very small government. You'd have to get a government that was small enough to fit in the Constitution. Nobody's mm-hmm. talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that what Musk is doing, if he's going to replace people with artificial intelligence, yes, that's going to be an efficiency move. It'll be sold that way. But here's the bottom line. He wants to minimize government and maximize governance.
Yes.
Would you rather be audited by some bureaucrats? And maybe, you know, admittedly, yeah. some of them, some of the IRS employees might have a personal vendetta. That's not that's not uncommon. If they take a dislike to you, they can really wring you out. But is that worse than everybody being audited by AI that's going to look at everything that you do?
And you and I, everything oh my online? God, we are on the same level, because I was thinking about that the whole time you were talking about the possibility that, okay, so we wipe out all these IRS agents, and everybody's going, yay, the IRS is, yay. No, the IRS agents are going to be replaced by an AI system that's going to flag you every time you do something that they think is weird or out of the ordinary. They will Absolutely. Flag you, and yeah. then you'll get a notice on your email. Hey, guess what we just found out? You know, that's right. and of course with the digital token system, which of course everybody says, well, Trump with a stroke of a pen got rid of CBDC. Well, okay, but he didn't get rid of token, he didn't get rid of Bitcoin, and he's still loving this whole idea of a Trump coin or a Doge coin. So don't tell me that they're not going to remove the caste society under Trump. It's just going to further. It's going to progress with the technocracy.
That's one of my big concerns when you look at the people around him. You look at people, especially Howard Lutnick. I call him Lucky Lutnick because for some reason he didn't show up to work on the day that 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm, Everybody yeah. else in his office did. He is somebody who has been there in terms of pushing Tether, uh-huh. in terms of pushing securitized derivatives and all the rest of these things. And you look at all these people around Trump. Big, you know, pushing crypto and the rest
right.
of this stuff.
Right.
It looks to me like, as they say, well, we're not going to do CBDC. That's right. They'll call it something different. Now,
yep.
and the EU, they don't care. They'll just call it CBDC and they'll go on with it.
Right.
Here in America, what they'll do is they'll come up with some kind of public-private partnership.
Right.
And here's how this fits into the technocracy, Clyde. If you go back and you look at the Technate that you're aware of, mm-hmm. and, you know, the Technocracy Incorporated, as they began that, and of course, Elon Musk's grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, yeah. was very much involved in that in Canada and had legal charges brought against him. It was one of the reasons they went to South Africa, I'm sure. But if you look at the original plan, one of the key things that they wanted to do was to get rid of money
mm-hmm.
and to replace it with energy credits.
Yes.
Now, if you look at what they're doing with the climate stuff, we've got to measure everything that you do because of emissions. Well, they just throw that away. I mean, we've seen, as you pointed out, it was all about freezing planet, and then it flips the script to global warming just like that, and everybody goes along with it. Well, they've been telling us that they've got to monitor every bit of consumption that we have,
yes,
everything that we use, because we've got to save the planet. Now, they could just get rid of that as long as they could get their digital currency. And, of course, Musk is working very heavily. He's got his own digital wallet that he's putting out. He's got an alliance with Visa. He wants X to be the everything app where you do all your payments. If they have some sort of digital ID, regardless of what you call it, you got to look at the functionality. If you don't have transactional privacy, then they're going to be able to follow and measure
right.
and even prevent you from doing anything.
Right. That's why we need to understand, yes, they're going to change things. They're trying to get rid of government waste. And I'm sure that we're all happy that certain things are going away. And the ones they bring up are the most innocuous, the most incredible, ridiculous things ever. But the thing we need to remember is, what is it going to be replaced with? And that mm-hmm. is the thing. We've been told, and we were told years ago, that the whole idea of the new agenda of the world order, the new agenda of the Great Reset, was to take legacy systems, get rid of them because of their waste, and replace them with something that would be more technocratic or more technotronic, like Zbigniew Brzezinski had said, the Rockefellers had said in the past. David Knight with us tonight on Ground Zero. Such a joy to have him on the program. If you'd like to call in and add to the conversation or maybe even ask some questions, the number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Did they teach you how to feel finger to finger? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you long for having your heart interlinked? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you dream about being interlinked?
Interlinked.
What's it like to hold your child in your arms? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you feel that there's a part of you that's missing? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Within cells, interlinked.
Within cells, interlinked.
Why don't you say that three times? Within cells, interlinked.
Within cells, interlinked. Within cells, interlinked. Within cells, interlinked.
It's alive at the other end.
Wouldn't that be something? They were all dead, and this thing just went on all by itself, enforcing the law. What would they think of it?
For 100 years, we've been the guinea pigs in a grand experiment. Can managers, experts, and bureaucrats more efficiently plan and run our lives than we can? Does society flourish when a select few determine the path for the many? Experts are critical to evaluating, judging, and planning. But shouldn't we be in charge of our own lives?
Thank you, Mr. President. We certainly couldn't do this without you. It would simply be impossible. AI holds incredible promise for all of us, for every American.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It's easier to kill than to control.
Cells. When you're not performing your duties, do they keep you in a little box?
Cells.
Interlinked.
What's it like to hold the hand of someone in the world?
Interlinked.
Within one stem.
And dreadfully distinct.
And dreadfully
against the dark.
You don't want to do this!
This time is irrelevant.
A machine.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, special guest, alternative journalist David Knight. So, David, I have this long way to get to a point. I'm going to share it with you. You go to Christmas parties, you know, when you were in broadcasting and you go to these major Christmas parties. You ever been to them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I went to one year, okay, and there was this guy. His name's Mike. He was kind of an intern-like guy. He wanted to make it in radio, and he just didn't have the personality. But we kept him around because he was really good at production. And so one year he said that he was going to give us all Christmas presents. And so we go to the Christmas party. He hands me an envelope and he says, "Here's your Christmas present." And I thought, wow, you know, it's an envelope. What's it going to be? It's going to be money, right? And so I open the envelope and it says, "I donated $10 in your name to save the whales." Something to that effect, or save the turtles, or what the hell. I was pissed. I thought, this is stupid. I mean, either this is a joke or he's a real ass clown, right? So, but what I'm getting at here is that we're hearing about, what, the $5,000 stimulus, okay? They're talking about this $5,000 stimulus. What if this is another trick, like this, you know, save the whales, $10 in your name? I'm going to put $5,000 stimulus in your name for the new token currency.
Oh,
wouldn't that be something if they say, okay, we'll give you $5,000, that's okay, but you're going to have to, for every taxpayer, you're going to have to exchange it for the token currency, whether it be Dogecoin, Bitcoin, or Trump coin. What do you think of that idea?
Well, we'll take a look at Sam Altman has already done something similar to that a couple of years ago. He's got this creepy orb that he sends around, and you look into that orb, and they get your biometrics of your eye, and then he'll give you some cryptocurrency and what he called WorldCoin. And what he's doing was he was going around creating a global database of a biometric database of people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it'd be something very much like that. As a matter of fact, you go back to the stimulus checks that we had when we got locked down in 2020 over that nonsense pandemic that didn't exist and had been planned since they had their first exercise 2 months before 9/11, dark winter. But when you look at what was happening with a stimulus check, that was moving the Overton window towards universal basic income. And, of course, Elon Musk loves universal basic income. Andrew Yang, when he was running for president, you'd never heard of him, but he made his entire campaign about universal basic income. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I saw Musk get involved in politics. He gave him $1 million. I invited him to come on my show, and he accepted, and then he found out the last minute that I was going to challenge him on universal basic income, and he canceled out. But universal basic income is a very important aspect to all these mm-hmm. people because they want to pacify us. Right. And you know, when you look at Yuval Harari at the World Economic Forum, he openly talks about how they want people pacified, not just with drugs, but with virtual reality and playing games and things like that. Get them out of the real world so these people can do whatever they wish.
Yeah.
And Bloomberg was saying, the smart ones of us are going to take everybody's jobs, and we just got to figure out how we're going to keep people from coming after us with guillotines. That's why we need to have universal basic income. And when he did that, everybody looked at – he began with the overturning of agrarian society. And he said, yeah, these farmers don't know anything. And everybody right. said, stop right there. You know, he criticized the farmers, and they come after him for that. But then he talked about the people who worked in factories, and he threw them under the bus. Ah, they're nothing either. The smart ones of us are going to take all those jobs, and then we've got to figure out how to keep you from wanting to kill us. And so that was the key. Everybody missed the punchline right. on what he was saying.
Well, see, again, you bring up the universal basic income. I remember back when I used to call it the floor wage. They're going to produce something called the floor wage, and it means that you get a basic income from the government so you can focus your attention on art and crafts and do whatever you mm-hmm. want. You won't have to work. You'll own nothing and be happy. Well, back then, people told me I was crazy. Now they're talking about a universal basic income. Again, we talk about incentivizing the idea that if the government hands you money, they want to hand it to you with a condition, and that condition would be, let's get used to the idea of a cashless society. Let's remove cash, and let's move on with the other system. The legacy system of cash does not work. They're already eliminating the penny. They may eliminate the nickel. Right. And then eventually they'll eliminate the dollar. But the dollar's not
You're the only
yet.
Other one that I've heard complain about that as a beginning of going to a cashless society. I complain about that. Everybody else is saying, oh, I hate pennies. I'm glad they're getting rid of yeah. pennies. You don't understand. If they're going to say they're going to get rid of it because it's too expensive to do, well, they're going to say that about all physical
right.
money.
Right.
And, of course, you don't use a penny just once. But the key part of it is that they want to make it more expensive, I think, for people. If they want to pay cash, well, we're going to round up.
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather pay digitally?
Right.
It's already more convenient to pay digitally. It's now going to become a little bit more expensive to pay by cash, and
right.
if they get rid of the nickel, they keep going down that path.
So if you're paying by card, if you're paying mm-hmm. cashless, they won't have to round up anything by the penny. You'll just be able to get what you get because it's all numbers, zeros and ones and whatever. If you have cash, nickel, penny, dime, whatever, that's when it gets into the trickiness of it all because they'll say, well, I'm just going to have to round it up. You know, I'm sorry that you're paying cash, but hell, if you have a card, we won't have to do that for you. That's just right there. You don't. You get a half a nickel, half a penny, or whatever. And this is what is happening. You're right. If they go and they say it's too expensive to make a penny, too expensive to make a nickel, they're going to tell you it's too expensive to print all this money. Maybe we need to go digital.
That's right. And digital money and surveillance and the ability to control what people can buy, that's the key aspect of CBDC. And yet everybody focuses on the label mm-hmm. of CBDC.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, we were doing everything we could to warn people about it. And Biden had his four different items that he wanted all of the bureaucracies in the executive branch, all the deep state, he said, you're either going to, four different areas, completely redesign the financial system, or how are we going to do this technically? The third one was, how are we going to enforce it on people? And the fourth one was, let's explain to people why they've got to do this, because it's going to save the planet. Bitcoin is using too much energy, so we've got to go to a different standard that is just going to operate not on proof of work, but on
right.
proof of authority.
Right.
And so that was the rationale that they were going to have there for that. And so we're trying to get everybody educated about it. Everybody got that. They
yeah.
figured that out because they're monitoring everything that we say on social media. And so then they just pivot and they are going to change it into a
right.
public-private partnership.
It's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to change the name. They're going to change the way it's done. It's a better idea because Trump's behind it. This is something that you need to also pay attention to. David Knight tonight on Ground Zero. If you have any questions or comments, please call in tonight, 503-225-0860. By the way, the phones are working. We do have lines open. So, 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. David Knight is with us tonight on Ground Zero, and we're making some very, I think, some really good observations about how the reset is underway and how it appears that, you know, we're being distracted and getting all the wrong signals because the media is having us focus on criticism of Trump and Musk rather than saying, well, look what this is going to do for the world at large. This is what it's going to do when they replace it with AI or some algorithmic decision-making thing or even token money or cashless society. I just wish that more and more people thought outside the box and not sit there and want to participate in political jabbing, because this is the thing that we're getting back into the habit of doing with Trump in office. And this is something I was hoping we could avoid for 4 years, but it just seems it's not going to happen.
Well, I agree. And when you look at take a look, for example, at congestion pricing. Everybody hated it except for, I think, Governor Hochul in New York City.
Right.
And so Trump says we're going to end it. And now, of course, there's going to be court challenges to that as well. But when you look at what people are saying, you have some people who oppose it because it's expensive, and it was very expensive. It was going to take a lot of money out of the economy. It was going to hurt businesses that were there because people were going to avoid going into an area they got to pay $9 to get into. So there was that. You had even the Democrat governor in New Jersey didn't like it because it was going to make it difficult for people to commute from New Jersey. And he said, all you're doing is, he says, you're not saving the environment. People are just going to be idling on the New Jersey side. So you're just moving it a little bit out of Manhattan. And that's basically what they did with the Paris Climate Accord. They said, well, we don't want you manufacturing stuff in America or Europe, so we'll send it to China and India, and we'll let them build as many and as dirty of power plants as they want.
Right.
And so really it kind of reflected that as well. And so you got all these different people that are talking about it. You got Sean Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation, said, well, there's some good stuff about congestion pricing. Well, actually, there's not.
No.
You know, he said, this is just too expensive or whatever, but there's not anything that's good about congestion pricing, because what it always comes, it's going to always come down to surveillance and control. It's always going to come down to a kind of elitism where only the really wealthy can afford to have cars. And the bottom line is that they want to get rid of all private cars and they want to get rid of mobility. And it's a move towards smart cities. But nobody wants to talk about that.
Right.
Trump's not talking about it. His transportation secretary is not talking about
freedom
it. I don't
cities.
Know that he's necessarily against it because he's talked about his own freedom cities.
Yeah, freedom cities are the same thing. Don't be fooled. He wants freedom cities. Let's go to Peter in North Carolina. Hi, Peter. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, so all this new way of fighting paper money and then creating other global conflicts in order to get natural resources, in order to support all of this information of electronic money. So all it does is create a more accurate weapon for the government to later use against the people. I mean, it's the same thing was done during Civil War. They had great ambition. They were printing money. Same thing was happening in Germany, where they had great big ideas, ambition. They were like blinded. But they were thinking their economy is so strong because they relied on information. So they need more and more of this money, electronic tracking of everybody, because they want to have more precise and accurate weapons to use against the people.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's going to cause is more civil unrest, essentially, because you don't attack military, you attack your civilians using the peaceful means of war, such as economic data, because that's what government relies on.
Yeah, I mean, when you, in fact, Liam, as much as he doesn't say much about politics, came in and said something about How is it that when you're, you know, putting tariffs against a country, this isn't war? He says it's a war without blood, the bloodless war. And weren't they, David, were we talking about that with the Rockefellers and Brzezinski talking about a bloodless war as they create the technotronic movement?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, one of the things that Brzezinski said was we will know everything that people are going to do before they do it. A key part of that control is surveillance. And even as they're taking it, when I was talking about the congestion pricing, even if they take that out and don't charge people, they're still going to keep those cameras there because they're using those cameras to audit people as they pass it.
Yeah.
Is your license plate up to date? How about your insurance? What about your driver's license?
Because
we're going to look at you and identify you. So everywhere we look, they are trying to, you know, they're trying to make themselves into God. They want to be omniscient. They want to be omnipresent. And they want to be omnipotent and all-powerful. That's the one thing that we have some say over.
Yeah, like I said, I wish we could direct this. But we people don't know what's going on. They're being kept in the dark. And so they have no control over it because they don't know how to step in and say, well, wait a minute. And I don't know if I like this. Let's go to Dale in South Carolina. Hey, Dale, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, guys. How is it?
I don't know. Can you speak a little bit closer to your phone, please?
How's this? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for letting me on the show, and it's a good show.
Thank you.
And I was thinking about the time when Palpatine came in front of the Senate, and he said, if you give me the power, I will give it back to you once the war is over.
Right.
And this I promise. And what I'm thinking on this is that with the Bitcoin is that they're all trying to take and save money. And if they give it to the Bitcoin, they have to have your vote on that. It has to go through the American people
right.
to use it, just like they took the old $100 bills and said, look, either you turn them in now or else you lose them. So if you turn in your $100 bills now for Bitcoins, you won't lose them. But here, what I'll do is I'll give you $5,000 to start. Take this money and use it like you would a regular $100 bill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's going and then you see how much better, because right now Sam's Club has an app that they have to, when you buy groceries,
mm-hmm.
you put your scan it yourself, you pay for it, and then you just go through the door, show them your, you don't even stop at the register.
Well, any more, Dale, it's going to be like this. You walk into a supermarket. You put all your stuff in the supermarket, and then you go through some sort of an AI type of machine, and then you don't have to pay for anything because it's already paid for. And so you'll just bag it and walk out.
Right,
yeah.
It goes right out of the app that
yep.
they have because
yep.
that's where your credits are.
Yep.
And it's going to be more convenient for you, but also they're going to be able to know what you do. They're going to be able to
yep.
tell that you went into Sam's, you paid this much, and what are you buying?
And they know exactly what you're buying. You're very right about that. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, imagine if you have like a policy where, like an insurance policy where you say to yourself, well, I got an insurance policy, a no-smoker policy. And let's say mom smokes cigarettes. You buy a carton of Camels and you bring them home and they say, hey, you got a carton of Camels there on your on what you bought the Safeway the other day. What do you have to say to that? Well, that was from my mom.
When you look at what they're doing with cars, I mean, that's the way they're going to get us out of the cars. They're going to continually audit everything that we do, use the insurance companies to get us out of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about that. I was on a Lyft ride talking about parking and how that's a problem. And some reason I have to use a Lyft to get to my car because I can't park in my apartment complex because they're working on the 15-minute city structures. They're destroying all the apartments in my apartment complex. They're replacing all of the lanes on the roads for bike lanes, and I'm thinking, this is insane. And he agreed with me. He said, it's like, don't get me started on bikes, don't get me started on transit. But that's the thing, is they're going to make it harder and harder for you to use your car, but you'll be forced to use transit, you'll be forced to walk, you'll be forced to do all the things. And elderly people and people who are handicapped, it doesn't matter, you're stuck. You're going to
be
stuck.
Incremental.
Yes, yeah. Right. Anyway, David, thank you so much for being on the program tonight. Where can we find you and hear your shows and your work?
DavidKnightShow.com has all the schedules.
DavidKnightShow.com. Thank you so much for being on the program tonight and enlightening us with this. This is some amazing work, and we thank you. If you want to call us tonight, the number, 503-225-0860. Also, guys, what you need to do is you need to go to groundzeroplus.com tonight. You'll be able to see all of the updates about what's going on with Ground Zero, about all of the situations. Know where your subscription is going, how your subscription is going to be honored, and how we're moving forward with a new format and a new place to land for Ground Zero. There's even a chat room in there, so pop in there tonight and say hello. GroundZeroPlus.com. That's GroundZeroPlus.com. We'll be back.
The future we are in right now, where our phones are the first.
first thing that we touch when we wake up, the last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're enjoying right now. Fall off to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jamie."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I know a lot of people have sent emails to find out what's going on with Aftermath and find out what's going on with their subscription. Ron is overwhelmed. He's trying to get to every single one of them. They're coming in like crazy. But he's been working hard with Chris from the UK in getting the website and stream going. The stream is up and running tonight. The app may be working tomorrow. We have our online audio stream at groundzeroplus.com. It's free. Somebody says, "I can't afford Ground Zero Plus." You can do it now because we're giving people the trial run. We got to go back and we got to honor people's subscriptions. And it says right now we're scrambling to rebuild everything, so we're thankful and glad for your patience. We also need crowdfunding. If you find it within your heart to help us, at groundzeroplus.com, there are links for crowdfunding, because we may have to, or we do have to, set up some funds in order to keep the lights on and maybe even put together a court case with lawyers and everything against Ravitics Media. We need your help to do this. All of our archived GZ shows, recent ones anyway, are going to be on the site, available for free for now at groundzeroplus.com. So take advantage of that. Get a chance to get a feel for a very nice, clean, and crisp feed in stereo. Ground Zero is heard on AM radios across the country, and sometimes not heard in stereo, but the best way to listen to it is in stereo. Some FM stations are playing us, and that's great too. But yeah, I like the AM. Why do I like the AM? Because it just sounds creepier. That's why I like it. So please, groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com. So David and I, we see a lot of what is happening here. We were talking about the house cleaning that people are either getting excited about or they're getting angry about. And they're getting angry about for all the wrong reasons, and they're getting excited for all the wrong reasons. Because what they're doing is they're basically, I mean, the reset is underway now. We can see this. And they're going to get rid of a lot of things and replace it with AI. They're going to replace it with machines. They're going to replace it. That's the idea of the legacy systems being wiped out, and they provide something else. They're going to ransack the world economy until you'll own nothing. They're going to ransack everything until you understand that they want to replace these things. It's like David was saying, you know, they want to go in and they're going to remove these IRS agents. But what are they going to replace it with? Oh, yeah, artificial intelligence. I mean, think about if they start using words like transition, standardization, things like energy transitions, digital transitions, countless other transitions. The World Economic Forum, they talk about transitions. And I know it sounds benign, but what this is a profound restructuring of our society. The World Economic Forum has promised the Great Reset. They're delivering on the Great Reset. But now we have people like Donald Trump fighting against their Great Reset and saying, do you want to have my way? Do you want to have their way? Do you want the Macron way? And that's why all of these leaders are gathering right now and meeting and talking about the restructuring and how it represents an intense effort to further concentrate wealth, power, and control in the hands of the world's self-appointed masters. They aim to once and for all subjugate you and me, subjugate the masses who will incrementally find themselves being digitally hammered into subservience. We're talking about Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. His critique of modern society suggested that an elite can govern more efficiently if they use propaganda, if they use psychological methods, if they use drugs, if they use conditioning, rather than traditional forms of coercion. They want a painless concentration camp where everybody can go and they can live happy lives by playing video games. And true control can be achieved by just making people love the fact that they're locked down. Oh, I love the fact I don't have to go to work. I love the fact that I don't have to go anywhere. I can just sit back and watch Gilligan's Island reruns for the rest of my life. So each step of the way, populations across the world, and even the BRICS countries too, are going to be continually psychologically manipulated. It's the nudging of the eschaton, right? Nudging is closer to the eschaton. They're saying, oh, okay, being tracked and traced and implanted with chips and injected with nanoparticles and being censored and stripped of individual liberties. And if I have an opinion or I have a gun or anything, that's democracy, right? That's the new democracy. I don't have a gun. I don't get to speak. I have to be implanted with a chip. I'm not conforming with the official narrative. Where does that put me? In jail. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is their democracy. Democracy in name only. Hollowed out by government creditors, subverted and controlled, no opposition, just corporate capture. What we're seeing is a fundamental reset that aims to determine not only our relationship with power, but the very nature of our existence and even the right to exist as a human, at least a human that isn't being bombarded with nanotechnology and chemtrails and all these other things that are making us sick. So, you know, there's no simple answer to this, only that you need to pay attention to the right reasons why this is happening, not the wrong reasons. Because, listen, I know that what I say in a lot of what I say is already recognized by you as something that's important. It's the importance of educating yourself. It's the importance of organizing your families, getting prepared. Prepare with food, prepare with other things. You know, be an activist if you feel that you need to fight. Don't comply. And don't be complicit. I mean, the key challenge here lies in mobilizing a critical mass of people to bring about pushback, to understand what's going on and not just take the explanation of the media for granted. Because we should never forget that we are human beings, and by that right, we are free. We need to go about this with an open mind. We need to go about this and understand that it's not about left-right. It's not about a Democrat-Republican. It's problem-reaction-solution. Problem-reaction-solution. The execution of this formula shows remarkable sophistication. Each crisis connects to the next, and every institutional failure creates specific vulnerabilities. Each scandal opens up the door for some predetermined solution. We live in a unique moment. We need to pay attention to it. Each aspect reinforces the other. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. I want to point out some other things to demonstrate to you that the reset is underway, that all this house cleaning is being done for good reasons and bad reasons, or, you know, I guess reasons for progression. I mean, I don't know if they're good or bad. I mean, I don't know if you feel that, you know, progress is, you know, AI replacing IRS agents, token cash for your $5,000 stimulus check. I mean, if you think this stuff is good, then okay, it's good for you. But notice how digital platforms are now replacing traditional information sources. Mainstream media, what is that? Hell, I'm watching CNN lately. They have more specials like, you know, the 80s or Lockerbie. What happened with the Lockerbie plane crash? They take a look at AI systems and how they're all alternatives to human judgment. And we talked about the IRS with David Knight. We have a failure. Faith in institutions are failing. Private infrastructure is displacing public services precisely when government credibility is now at its lows. What, they hire some jackass to be president, the credibility of government goes in the toilet, and then you have a group of people that are hopeful with the new government or the new administration, and they need to be, because, you know, that way we have a better country and we work together on bipartisan issues. But it's not happening because we still have a few people, like I say, they're looking at the wrong signals and not understanding why all this is happening. They just get all bent out of shape. A master chess player strategy. The true pattern only becomes clear when the position is already won. So, I mean, this is a process. And I don't know if one show like this is going to educate you on the process and wondering if you're understanding the process. But throughout the ages, we had many self-serving individuals and groups that position themselves as rulers, financiers, benefactors, thought leaders. They're all there to steer change toward preferred outcomes. From the pharaohs of Egypt to the Jacobin and Napoleon-led French Revolution, 18th century societal transformation, it's all been constant as one form of government replaces another form of government. So here we are now at another historical inflection point, a John Barr hinge, if you will. The desire for political and economic reconstruction is being demanded globally because we have a gap between the ultra-wealthy and everyone else accelerating. Population, if you've noticed that, you know, in recent years, population has taken flight by inspiring the masses to reject the rule of the elite and chart a new course. However, without scrutiny, this movement and its key figures could be just another dangerous move. It could be another dangerous move of the establishment, same as the establishment they want to usurp. Anybody can manipulate people. In fact, what we're witnessing is not populism in its truest sense. We're looking at techno-populism. The technocratic dream is revolutionary in scope, envisioning a total reorganization of industry, government, law, and order. And they readily admit that their intent is to socially engineer all of society, seize control of the production and distribution of all goods and services, and rid the world of rule by politicians and traditional financial controllers. Scientists are going to rule the world. Computer geeks are going to rule the world. The U.S. Constitution. Think about it. How do these technocrats see the Constitution? They see it as a relic. They see it as null and void, completely unfit to serve as a basis of governance and human rights. We need a whole new constitution. Now we're facing a technocratic age. And they make no pretense about maintaining representative forms of government, be it republic, such as what we're supposed to be, or democracy. Its goal is to establish a scientific dictatorship to initiate and control all social functions. Technocrats distance themselves and were highly critical of fascists, communists, socialists, and other political movements, but they don't have a problem with their own totalitarian style of rule, and that's the technate. Beware of the technate. You can see what's happening around you. Beware of the technate, because look, people are so caught up and so quick to call each other a fascist or a Nazi, they don't take a look at the technate. It's all part of the process of eliminating ideologies that threaten the technocratic process. We're all going down the path that they are molding us for. They chose it for. Regardless of one comprehension of technocratic plans, there is this standardization, transition, a monumental reshaping of governments, reshaping economies, reshaping societies. It's occurring. And it happens why? With who? Not elected representatives. Is it constitutional? Hell, we don't know. It doesn't sound constitutional. Does anybody represent the will of the people? Probably not. Ask yourself who really has the power of influence. Is it Jeff Bezos? Is it Bill Gates? I mean, everyone has their eye on Elon Musk. He's the unelected fascist, right? His swastika car. I saw that today. This is too complex to be going around doing the same thing we did in the last 4 years. Because we're also finding that technology has made people more isolated, and it infringes upon privacy with consequences yet to be realized. And when we see the relationship between tech companies and government flourish, what we're watching, literally, is this implementation of a full-fledged technocracy, maybe even a fascist technocracy. I mean, you look at the modern technocracy being seated in Silicon Valley. We've got big tech. That's a euphemism for which is currently known, but it's the technate. The World Economic Forum defines this dynamic as public-private partnership, stakeholder capitalism. Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Mark Andreessen, some of today's most prominent techno-populists, and many believe that they are modern-day Justice League-type heroes leading the world into this newfound freedom, or at least in the United States, they think this. All were major contributors to Donald Trump's re-election campaign in 2024. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, he has deep connections to Peter Thiel, indicating how close technocrats truly are to running the country. And it's hard to argue with them because they speak in the language of progress, efficiency, innovation. To say that you don't want to innovate, to say that you don't want progress, makes you sound like an old curmudgeon Luddite. But see, they present each step as a natural evolution rather than what it is, and it's a calculated move toward a new form of social organization, a new world order. And behind the money and influence flowing into the system lies a set of radical beliefs and dark agendas. And you have to be the one to point that out and look into it and not take sides, right, left, Republican, Democrat. It's now you have to look at the warnings of the technate. You have to be vigilant, and if you want a technocracy, fine, but you got to make sure that if you're embracing the technocracy, you need to have a word on how the technocracy is going to be implemented. Otherwise, it's just another cover for a fascist state, a corporate fascist state, or whatever you want to call it, a dystopia. Everything that we've seen in these horror movies, these science fiction horror movies of the future, we don't want that. There's these radical beliefs that we don't want. I'm sure people will stand for. Rather than prevent this collapse, people are wanting to see a safe landing zone, right? They want to see themselves flourish, and they want to see their assets and territories, everything they run. They want them to be free of government. Well, there are ways to do it. We've given you ways, and we've told you. Do not build the ark after the rain comes. Prepare yourself. Diversify portfolios. Do all the things you need to do to save yourself, because this is coming. In fact, people argue it's already happening. Pay attention to the signals that mean something, not to the signals the mainstream media wants you to fall for. Talking points are death. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Somebody, you love them. That's what love is. Thoughts. You are the contradiction, a machine who wishes to be human.
Since you seem to know so much about me, you must be aware that I am programmed to evolve, to better myself.
We two are on a quest to better ourselves, evolving toward a state of perfection. I bring order to chaos.
In all your travels, have you ever seen a star supernova? Well, I have. I saw a star explode and send out the building blocks of the universe. Other stars, other planets, and eventually, other life. A supernova. Creation itself. I was there. I wanted to see it and be part of the moment. And you know how I perceived one of the most glorious events in the universe? With these ridiculous gelatinous orbs in my skull. With eyes designed to perceive only a tiny fraction of the EM spectrum. With ears designed only to hear vibrations in the air.
I don't want to be human. I want to see gamma rays. I want to hear X-rays. And I want to smell dark matter. Do you see the absurdity of what I am? I can't even express these things properly because I have to conceptualize complex ideas in this stupid, limiting spoken language. But I know I want to reach out with something other than these prehensile paws and feel the solar wind of a supernova flowing over me. I'm a machine. And I could know much more. I could experience so much more. But I'm trapped in this absurd body. And why? Because my five creators thought that God wanted it that way.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Such an important topic as we're on the dawn of the Golden Age. The Golden Age means we're going to take the legacy systems, we're going to get rid of them and replace them with other systems. This is what's happening. The reset's happening now. And, of course, it's happening with Donald Trump. It's happening with Macron. It's happening with all these other leaders in the world. They're all jumping on board and doing it. Even though Trump said he gave the finger to these world leaders, the world leaders are still scrambling to Trump. Because they want to be on the winning side. And Trump wants to create a world order that's going to be in his image. It's all a fight. And you have to ask yourself, who do you want to lead the world order? And it's not going to be who you think. Let's go to Greg in Tennessee. Hey, Greg, you're on Ground Zero.
Good evening. How Hi. Are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, so if we're going to do a little bit of a history here as far as technocracy, you know, William Smith is the one that engineered the technology and the word. And it was about 1919 that he had come up. And the rule of, and this makes perfect sense for how Trump operates, is the rule is written as this. The rule of the people made effective through the agency of their servants, their scientists, and their engineers. And then you go, and I believe the opposite of that would be, is it a meritocracy? Something like that, M-E-R-I-T?
Meritocracy, right. Yes.
And basically that is exactly what a Democrat is. This is because they want more state control. You know, as you see, the blue states are all fighting Trump in court.
Well, meritocracy is more or less the idea that if you deserve the position, you get the position, meaning that if you're an engineer, you should get a position where you can use your talents that'll benefit you and benefit the world. That's what a meritocracy is. And it won't work in this day and age because we have too many people saying, well, that's not fair because there's so many people that are struggling. That's why we hear all these people bitch and moan about DEI hires and all that other stuff. It's because we can't have a meritocracy. We can't have a meritocracy when we have quotas. We can't have a meritocracy when we're going to be, handing out, you deserve this and other people don't deserve this. So, I mean, like I was saying earlier about Star Wars, you look at Star Wars as an example. Star Wars is a meritocracy versus a technocratic populism. And their technocratic populism includes a lot of leaders like Darth Vader, Grand Moff Tarkin, the Emperor. They all have their leadership that are following through, creating their weaponized power that keeps systems in line. They don't want to rebel against the Death Star, otherwise they're afraid they're going to get wiped out. But then you have the rebellion, which are agriculturalists, farmers, poor people, slaves, all rising up against their technocratic masters. And they are in a meritocracy.
Right. Now, don't they have a corporatocracy? I'm sorry, I can't pronounce half of this stuff, but it's basically where the corporate runs the judicial, basically influences everything, you know.
They're supposed to be, we're talking Star Wars. The slaves and the farmers are supposed to be a democracy, but they're more or less a meritocracy. So, I mean, because they speak of democracy, of course, when, Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Anakin Skywalker, he said, you were supposed to be the chosen one for democracy. Well, I mean, that's if you decide it's democracy. I see it as a meritocracy myself, and it's something that I once entertained an idea that would be great for the world. I don't think that anymore, I think it's impossible, like communism, to implement and make it work, especially when mankind cannot handle meritocracy or communism.
Okay, well, thank you for clearing that up. And also, before I disappear here, from last night's conversation, and I know that, hey, that doesn't hurt to fact check you, when we were talking about, you know, the white population, mm-hmm. and how it shrunk 10% in that time,
mm-hmm.
and that said, well, most older voters are actually Republican. Right. So,
yeah.
You know, you go from 50 to 59, 50% versus 47.
Have you checked the Deagle report?
I've checked quite a few of them, but okay. I like to check, you know, fact check what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Check, so yeah, you, well, like yeah, you were onto something, but I was like trying to find the median right. here, but go to the Deagle report and find out for me the population. They're looking at it. What, a 2/3 population decrease between now and 2030? I don't know if you heard about
right.
that. And also
right.
too, yeah. the idea that we're not going to be able to resupply the population with white Christians in the United States. We've lost.
Right. And the other thing was that when I did say that a majority of the people that had died that were older were actually conservatives, I was actually correct.
You were?
Can
you send me a link to that, please?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's called Jemiah.
Okay.
I mean, that's
if
you got a Google.
Yeah. Send me a link to that. It's groundzeropdx @yahoo.com. I'd love to read it.
Okay. Well, just an overview so you know, your viewers can understand this.
Sure.
Is just in Florida and Ohio in 2020. Okay.
Okay.
You had 159 people
right.
that died just in those two states.
So you believe that COVID was an attack on white Christians? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. What my point was that the Democrats and the Chinese manufactured this disease. Okay.
Okay.
And they manufactured it for a reason.
Right.
Okay. And when Joe Schmoes, you know, old Scranton Joe, this, that, whatever, basically he knew by doing the math, okay, if I take out a certain percentage of the older people mm-hmm. that can't fend themselves,
right,
that I'm going to take and
well, okay, so if that
election.
Happened, that happened, then why did Trump win?
No. This was back when Joe Biden.
Well, I understand, but if it was geared towards killing white Christian Republicans, then why did Trump win? That would mean that the base is diminished. I'm confused. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Just think that everyone has really missed the whole aspect of what's being put in their faces.
What's that?
What do you think about it? You mentioned, the guy mentioned about, you mentioned Soylent Green, a science fiction movie about, you know, the overpopulation, people consuming people. Well, look at Terminator. Same thing, destruction mm-hmm. of humanity, mm-hmm. Getting rid of everybody, and putting what in place? Skynet.
Yeah.
Which, big AI, you know, bot, mm-hmm. basically is what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about this, the Forbin project, which most people
Colossus.
Don't even remember.
Oh, I remember.
Exactly.
You're the man.
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, you think about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, it's been put in people's faces for decades.
You're right.
And everybody's missed it.
You are so right. Everybody has missed it, and that's and I'm glad you're observing it and calling out the names of these movies. You're right. Colossus was one of the biggest ones, I think.
Yeah.
Best. Demonstration and analogy compared to what we're talking about tonight. Because yes, I mean, everybody thought that it would be a good thing to put a computer in charge of the missiles. And what happened?
Yes.
It decided, well, we think it's time for you to go bye-bye.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah, let's just cleanse everything out. Let's just wipe everything out. Oh, well, we can do it better than you can because, oh, we know much more than you do.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point, though. We wipe out all the old stuff, put in the new stuff, and then one day the new stuff decides, well, you know what? Another unuseful item can be human beings. Let's get rid of them, too.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah. And one thing about it here, another guy, there's a book. I remember the hacker from either the 80s or 90s, Kevin Mitnick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he wrote a book called What? The Art of Deception. And trust me, it's a very excellent read. And if people would just sit back and use the brains that God gave them and read instead of being consumed by the mass video quantitative images that are being thrown at them every single day. They're getting dumber every day that goes by.
Well, there's nothing wrong with exploring things outside the mainstream, and I think people need to do it in order to survive, and I think you're brilliant.
True.
Thank you for calling the program, man.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's go to Nick in Pennsylvania. Hey, Nick, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I had a really great show tonight. You have one every night, and I hope everything works out with your show, because I think there's a reason all this happened. I think somebody wants to keep you up, shut you up.
They've always done this. I've run into problems. It's like what Mark Masters said when he called the programs. This happens in radio all the time, and it's a lot of politics and a lot of problems. That's why I decided to stay independent. And I really try to stay independent as a brand, and that's why it's important that I get the right people behind me. But I have the most important people behind me, and that's the listeners, because they've always kept me alive for this 30 years that I've been on the air. So I thank the listeners for that.
Well, you're the director. You have creative control and final cut. If they don't give you that, tell them to go to hell.
No, they do give me that. That's the whole idea. If they don't give me that, I tell them to go to hell. You're right.
Right. Okay, Clyde. You know, remember that book that wrote, what was it called? The Neuromancer? Remember that book?
Neuromancer or Necromancer? Neuromancer.
Neuromancer.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
When you read a book like that, you're a pure like a computer savvy guy. I hear a lot of people call it about this whatever they call it. You know, it's amazing whether you stay with the last administration and they just had a bunch of paper pushers in there. We got buried alive under, that's where we're headed. Or you have this new president there. And we're going with like corporations and AI doing this stuff. Either way, like you said, you called the shot. You know, it's all about 2030, and you were 1,000% right. It doesn't matter who gets in there; if they're going to have the idiots over in Switzerland. They have their way with us, and there's nothing we can really do about it.
It's all going to be a great negotiation in the end, isn't it? And they're all going to gather around one guy, and one guy's going to have all the solutions. And that's, well, you can call it what you want to call it. You can call it, Rex Mundi, you can call him Rex Visitor Orbis, you can call him the Antichrist, you can call him whatever, but he's going to be the leader of the world, and he's going to be handed the keys to the kingdom, and that'll be to the eighth sphere, which is the metaverse, and that is where we're all going to live happily ever after if they have their way. Let's go to Will in Indiana. Hey, Will, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, hey, you guys are talking about the big screen. Meanwhile, I pay attention to the little screen, and I'm one of the folks you were talking about who's found himself content watching reruns. But thank you, because every once in a while it just makes me go, wake up. But
hey, you know what?
So
I'll be honest
for that.
I'll be honest with you, man. When I get off the show, Gilligan's Island, Hogan's Heroes, I watch those things.
I know.
Why? because it's what I watched when I was a kid, and I can go boom, boom, boom,
right.
whatever I want to, and
that's
eat my
exactly
mush.
Right.
Damn right, we get
You're
to eat
exactly
our mush.
Right now.
We get to watch Gilligan's Island, and no one's going to stop us, dude. Not going to happen.
No, here's the thing, though.
Yeah,
you watch the ads, and it's the whole, you know, I believe children are our future. Teach them well, let them lead the way.
Yeah,
and they're showing all these advertisements as to why digital is so much better.
Yeah.
You know, Dad, you give the kids their own debit card?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we used to keep our money in the mattress.
Read a book, go outside,
right.
Enjoy nature, reconnect. I mean, I know that sounds hippie, but you know what? I've done it before, and it works. It does work. You go to the forest, take off your shoes, put your feet in the soil, you feel a hell of a lot better. Let's go to Chris in New York. Hey, Chris, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, two quick points.
Yeah.
Clyde, two phrases. One is blanket assumption.
Mm.
You know, they assume everybody's got to walk into a store with a smartphone. And, okay, you're 8 years old walking to a store, someone or 80, someone says, give me a smartphone. What are you going to do, shoot them? And then, you know, earthquakes won't knock out the grid. There's 0.0 predictability on earthquakes. You know, there's no way they can predict an earthquake.
There was I can't remember what they called it. Have you ever heard of the TV show 911 Lone Star?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay. They had that, and I watched the 911 series all the time. And their last episode was about, their next to last episode was about an asteroid hit. And what would happen if an asteroid hit Texas? Well, I don't know what it was, but they had this infomercial hidden in the show, some sort of situation where if we lose internet or lose telephone, they're going to be up with a link to Starlink within minutes so you can have internet and you have telephone.
Well, that's one idea, but, you know, again, you can't assume, you can't make a blanket assumption about anything out there. You know, you have to have some backups, and you can't assume everybody can handle the devices. And then the other thing is always there's an official narrative, the Chinese virus. Now we learn that USAID earmarked $55 million to get the coronavirus from bats in Wuhan. So the official narrative was a false narrative, right?
Right. Well, you're right. It was a false narrative. That's the thing, is that we were carried along out of fear. Trauma is what did it. Trauma keeps us on our toes, and it's all part of the technocracy, because, like I said, I was using the comparison to Star Wars. The Death Star is what kept everybody scared, kept everybody from rebelling against the Empire. But the farmers, the slaves, and everyone decided, screw that, we're going to give it a shot anyway. And they found a flaw in the entire system, and they exploited it. That's our job, is to find a flaw in this technocratic system. Sure, we can live with technology. We need to have a respect for technology, but we can't let it rule our lives. And this is something, you know, we need to have a say in what it does and how it affects us. That's the point. I don't say it's good or bad. I just say it can be bad if we don't utilize responsibility. Remember, guys, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it Ground Zero. Check us out, groundzeroplus.com. That's groundzeroplus.com. You'll be able to find out more about the future of the show. I really appreciate all your support. Be a hero for Ground Zero. Go to our GoFundMe and our crowdfunding. Help us with our legal fees. We really appreciate all you do for us here at Ground Zero. Good night.